Your Central Minnesota Farm Report on Chasm Radio. I'm Farm Director Joe Gill. Your report brought to you by Mid-Soda Trailer Sales and Service, right off I-94 in Avon. Well, this week we visit with Daryl Larson. Daryl Larson, you've heard his voice many of years with Morrison County FSA. And, well, Daryl recently retiring as well from his farmstead and went through a farm transition. And also, Daryl, a long history with Minnesota Farmers Union. This past weekend, Farmers Union wrapping up their state convention, in which Daryl had a very important role in during convention. And also, we dive deeper into the topic of farm transition and his own story. But first of all, Daryl talks about his history and background regarding Minnesota Farmers Union.
Yes, it does, Joe. It was my first job after I got out of the University of Minnesota Crookston. I worked as a field representative for a number of years before we moved back to the farm. And then when we moved back to the farm, I became active with it, was Morrison County president. And then for 3 years, I was the state vice president, but had to resign that position when I took the job with the USDA Farm Service Agency. So it was very intriguing, and I missed it, but I always stayed active with him. When I worked with the Minnesota Farmers, with the FSA, I and Grant Herfindahl used to share a column that we wrote for the Farmers Union paper. I'd write 1 week and he'd write the next, and then it went to a monthly paper and I'd do 1 month and he'd do the other. So we kept in touch with him. And for this convention, I had the privilege of being on the policy committee, and that made it even more interesting. You've got to keep your nose into it and dig deeper into the policy that's being discussed.
You know, Daryl, when it comes to policy, it seems, I know it's real general to say, but a lot of things, a lot of topics stay the same. But then again, you know, they do change and kind of morph into new issues every year.
You know, the way that works with the Minnesota Farmers Union, well, all of the National Farmers Union and most organizations, is we get resolutions in from the counties. It all starts at the grassroots level, and the county meetings have their meetings, and they pass resolutions when they see there's something that should be changed or added. And when you serve on the policy committee, 8 or 9 of us, we went through 250 resolutions that came in from county organizations in Minnesota. And we sort through them and we see if there's some that already, some language that already exists that matches that in the policy, or if there's something that's close to that, and or other resolutions that come in that can be merged. And if not, it's offered as added language, and then the folks at the state convention vote on it. We offer it for their consideration, and they get a motion and a second, and then debate it, and sometimes change it, sometimes delete it, sometimes add it, just as it is. So it was very interesting. Yep.
You know, Daryl, it makes a lot of sense, you know, where it all starts, because what is an issue in Morrison County or Stearns County may not even be an issue in Pipestone County. So it's you bring in, I bet you, just a wide variety of issues or concerns that differ quite greatly.
Yes, there's all kinds of topics, everything from egg prices to service in the rural areas, to the right to repair, to transportation, and most of it affects everybody. But like you said, some of it is more pertinent to certain areas of the state. And when you say that, we had a really good turnout at the convention. It was full again, and the room at the Delta Hotel, and a lot of good folks from Stearns and Morrison and Benton counties, especially in that area, Todd County. So we had a good representation from central Minnesota.
You know, Daryl, seems like this year there was a focus, too, on farm transition and next generation of farmers. And it's been brought up in years past, but I'm sure you were looked at for a lot of input, because this was personally your story here in the recent years.
This last year, it takes 2-3 years to put it together, but we did get a transition going for our farm here in Morrison County. We had, like I said, several resolutions and a policy statement, but when you get concerns that are more concentrated in certain areas, the State Farmers Union staff then draft special orders of business on those that they think are more concerned for the current year. And we had 5 drafted special orders of business this year that all passed. One was responding to the crisis in farm country. You know, that's not only are farm prices weak right now from the trade wars that are going on and so forth, but the cash flow is starting to be a big concern for some folks. So the imports are just as expensive as they were before. They didn't come down when the commodity prices came down. So we had one resolution, or one drafted order special business, that responded to the crisis in farm country. Another one was the end of trade war. Another one was on the reversing health care cuts and improve access to health care, especially for rural folks. Another was to invest in the next generation of farmers, and I'll talk about that one in more detail. And the fifth one of our special orders was to restore programs that fight hunger. But yeah, you're right. We had one that concentrated on the transition or investing in the next generation of farmers, and it's needed. I think it's very much needed.
Darrell, for going through this, do you feel there's adequate tools in the toolbox to accomplish this, or did you see during your process too that we need to move the ball a little further on this?
You know, I think there's adequate tools there, but sometimes they aren't funded adequately. Sometimes the access to them, to those tools, is not generally very well known, or the access isn't well made to farmers. And so we need to concentrate on that stuff. The resolution that we passed that was investing in the next generation of farmers, it asked for five different points. One was fully funding the Minnesota's beginning farmer tax credit. We've had applicants in the past that have applied and have been accepted, but then they had to wait for the next round of funding. So if it's a good program, why not get it fully funded and it can revolve that way? Another was to improve access to credit for beginning farmers, making farm credit and rural finance authority loans more accessible and competitive for all farmers. And the third point was continue to expand tax benefits like the Ag Homestead credit, and to improve tax incentives for transitioning farmland. And the fourth point was to support for things like the farm business management, some of the tools we use in transitioning. Farm business management was a key one for my family as we and the new family that bought my home farm this past year. Also in that, some of these tools are the Emerging Farmers Office. The Minnesota Department of Agriculture has some in our Minnesota Ag Department, and extension programs for transitioning, things like that. And then the fifth point of this special order was to have transparent enforcement of Minnesota's corporate farmland, so corporate farm law. So we wanted to resolve that we supported investing in diverse and better market opportunities, public research, supply chain development, technical assistance that allows new farmers to build diverse and profitable farm businesses and remain on the land. So we provided that one, and are urging lawmakers to consider this.
You know, Darrell, I'm sure there's other professions that require, I guess, a big financial investment. I had someone make the analogy, well, I'm starting out farming, I'm just digging this huge hole, and then now I get to spend the next 50 years trying to claw my way out. But I think it's just an example of, you know, there's no way around it. You know, there is a large financial requirement if you're getting started maybe in a certain way, which, you know, maybe 50, 60 years ago, it was a different way that farmers got involved.
Yeah, well, you know, nowadays the capital outlay is such a huge amount, and we have the same concern for local businesses in our agricultural communities. They need to exist too. We need them, but you know, we're representing farmers in this organization, and farmers, if you invest in new farmers, that means new kids in rural schools, means support for Main Street businesses, and so we wish well to everybody if we want to have strong rural communities.
When you look back at your transition process too, like you said too, it wasn't, you may have seen the action here in the last year, but the ball really rolled, what, 2 or 3 years ago, you said?
You know, that's the next point I was going to talk about. It's not quick, and it took about 2 to 2.5 years for us when we started seeing that it was possible for both the young couple and for us to make this transition. There's a lot of folks you got to contact, a lot of planning you have to do, and so it takes a while to do this. And you'd be surprised how many people I had at the convention that mentioned that to me, that they've been working on it for a couple of years. So hang in there. But what I would urge people to do is make contact with people like farm business management instructors, your tax people, to get tax consultants consultations when you can. And then just keep talking to people that have been through this. Extension has some programs with this, and we need to do everything we can to make it more possible for young people to move on to our family farms.
How about the emotional side? I mean, I've seen it too, where even in a easier transition between maybe parent and son or daughter, and it's hard for one generation to maybe let go a little bit. How is it in that aspect? You know, maybe, I don't know if that gets talked about a lot, but gosh darn it, you know, you put your sweat and tears and your whole family did for all these years. How, I'm sure that's going to be a never-ending process working with that, you know, between your ears too, right?
Well, it is, and I'm one of those that's affected emotionally by something like that, but what it helps when you find a young couple that's a fit, and when you can see that you're not just walking away from it, that or being pushed away from the farm and saying goodbye to it. We're right next door, and we work with them and help them and give them a lot of advice. But that's what you need. You need to be able to find people that you can trust and are happy with and can work with you through this transition and make the whole thing go better.
I know. I almost look at it like a parent. I can tell my teenage kids, you know, boy, I can see how this is going to end, but I got to let them, you know, maybe fail a little bit to learn to, even though I think I could save them some time and some grief, you know?
Yeah, that's certain. I've read a lot of articles lately where somebody told his young son that I think it was a farmer out in Nebraska, Western Nebraska, and it was in a ranching magazine, I guess, and he said he told his son, you need to go someplace now for 10 years before you come back and want to consider coming back to this place. Get some experience and see the outside world.
Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio. Daryl Larson joining us. A long time you heard his voice on Chasm Radio with the Morrison County FSA, but as you heard too, a very long history with the Minnesota Farmers Union, and of course recently going through a farm transition of his own. So great to get Daryl's perspective and hear more about his story, and also recapping a few more details regarding the Minnesota Farmers Union recent state convention in Minneapolis. For Chasm Radio, I'm Farm Director Joe Gill.